Blog Talk Radio.
Now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. Episode 308, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. As always, I am Chris Featherstone. Follow us on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. This weekly interview tonight, I have a star for Ring of Honor, ladies and gentlemen. He came right out the gate interfering in a title match just to show everybody who in the world is this, and he hasn't lost momentum since. He was in a tag team for a while, then he became a member of the Rebellion. He was in a faction, and now, you know, he's spent a lot of times after that as a hired gun. He was on Caprice Coleman's show. He's doing a little bit of everything in Ring of Honor, continuing to gain momentum and gain traction for his name. He's had so much experience working in the independent scene, and he is really making a name for himself in professional wrestling business today. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you tonight Shane Taylor. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. That was a hell of an introduction, brother. Thank you.
My pleasure, sir. My pleasure. It's an introduction that is totally based on what you do, so you get the credit for that. So
I'm going to have to hire you, man. I mean, I feel good now. I feel like you should just go with me to the grocery store and things like that. Just start announcing for me. As
absolutely.
I go places,
absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, clear the way. Here he is.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
The dairy aisle will never be the same. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Absolutely. So since your debut in Ring of Honor, you've been really turning some heads. You've been really causing some attention to come your way. How did you get an opportunity to compete at Ring of Honor? And you know, you've been just really making a lot of progress, a lot of steam so far. Let the listeners know how'd you get where you started and where you are right now.
You know, I started and was trained in Cleveland, Ohio, by Raymond Rowe. And a guy named by the name of J-Rock, Jerry Myers, Ray Rowe, obviously former Ring of Honor tag team champion, former two-time IWGP tag team champion with Hanson,
yep.
War Machine, you know. And for a long time. I was up there riding around with them. They were taking me as many places as they could, showing me as much as they could. And then after a few years of that, Ray moved down here to Texas, and I was sort of, you know, on my own, kind of trying to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Felt that I had sort of peaked where I was at. I was one of the best guys there in the area and really wasn't getting the opportunity to get in the ring with people who I thought were better than me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that you get better at doing this, is to be around folks that are better than you.
Yeah.
And I don't say that trying to be like cocky or anything, but I just felt like I was at the same level as everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, but I wasn't getting any better. So Ray finally convinced me to move down here to Texas. And since I've been down here the last few years, have made tremendous strides, you know, also, you know, with Wildcat Sports in Louisiana and different places like VIP in Dallas, Wrestle Circus in Austin, and really just getting a chance to sort of restart.
Yeah.
And when I went to Ring of Honor, I was riding with Ray Rowe, went to a few shows there, just trying to get my face seen and talk to folks and network. And eventually, you know, being around the guys and talking to them and getting to know them, they found out that I was a pretty good dude and I was pretty okay at this wrestling thing. So they gave me a shot. They liked what they saw, gave me some critiques to work on. At each point that I came back,
mm-hmm.
I had improved where they said to improve. I had worked on the things that they said to work on, and that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they saw me and Keith together, and that was their chance that they thought that they could do something with us.
Yeah, awesome. And it's interesting that you mentioned Ray Rowe, because, well, first of all, I'm a fellow Ohioan. I was still live in Ohio, and proud
My
Ohioan.
Guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the most memorable moments that I've noticed in your ROH career was the feud that you and Keith Lee had with War Machine, and how those stomping grounds, and how it really, really showcased just a more reality aspect to it. And you were mentioned the things that you were just talking about, how, you know, you were trained by Ray, and just really how, you know, he, you know, you looked up to him as a competitor and things like that, and just how that, you know, and how that's led to just you wanting to go out on your own. So it's just, you know, that was one of the biggest pieces that I remember, the more poignant and more storyline things that I remember being a part of. How was it, you know, really working with Raymond? You know, he broke you into ROH, and how did it all come about as far as being in the storyline with them?
I mean, we just really played off of our real history. You know, he's one of my best friends in the world. You know, he's the godfather to my daughter. We've been tight since, you know, I was 20 years old, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in there with your best friend, you're in there with a guy that you consider family, that you consider blood, you know, you're going to up the ante, because not only do you want to make them proud, but you want to prove to the world that they weren't lying when, you know, I wanted to prove personally that I wanted to make him look like Nostradamus. Like he said, hey, my guy is good, he's going to be great here, and then we go out and do it and we show them.
Yeah.
To me, there's nothing better than that. To be able to tell you that I'm going to do something and then watch me do it,
mm-hmm.
That to me is very fulfilling, you know. So we definitely wanted to go out there and prove that not only were we two of the best tag teams in the world, but if you give us the time and the platform to do something, we're going to make it special.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah, I loved watching you and Keith's matches against War Machine. It was just so hard hitting and aggressive, and just no nonsense, and just to be a guy of your stature, to be so agile, in the ring and so strong at the same time, it's really a component that is not really seen in wrestling. A lot of times people when they have the big man persona, it's kind of like a little it's smaller wrestling and more character, which is great, which I'm a big fan of, but you definitely bring an element that is much different as far as being more agile in the ring. Now, what made you decide to choose that type of wrestling style?
I've always been attracted to that style. I've always been deceptively athletic, I like to say. A lot of people see me and they think, oh, well, he's this. But I've been boxing since I was 5 years old. I've been playing football and wrestling and track and field my entire life. You know what I mean? Since like middle school. Like, I'm a very athletic person, and now that I'm changing my bo that my now that I'm changing my body up more to reflect that, reality, it doesn't catch as many folks off guard. But for me, I've always been able to do these things, and when you look at guys like Vader or Stan Hansen or guys of that sort,
Bam
they,
Bam
or
Bigelow.
Undertaker, Kane, like they always had, they were always very big guys, but had some, special things that they did athletically that made them stand out. So I wanted to be able to sort of mold myself in that image of being able to knock your teeth out, but at the same time, be able to run around and do the things that I want to do as well. Because if you're a well, if you have a well-rounded attack, that makes you that much tougher of an opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was saying, I think that you, to me, you have such a comparison to Bam Bam Bigelow. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but I think that you and Bam Bam, have a really, really similar style as far as being big man, but just agile. He would do, diving headbutts and moonsaults and all types of stuff like that. And
Oh, yeah.
you mirror that corner a bit. We were talking off air, and just with it being Black History Month, and the age old conversation that probably will never go away is just the treatment of African American stars in the wrestling business. A lot of people complain about there's never been a black, WWE champion, and so many forums and things like that. They don't count The Rock. This is based on what other people were saying. They don't count The Rock because he's half black and half Samoan. And these are just comments that people say throughout the years. A lot of people don't count Mark Henry because he's was world heavyweight champion. They don't count Booker T because he was world heavyweight champion. Is that something that you ever thought about, just as far as just the WWE champion aspect, and just what are your overall thoughts on just African American stars in the pro wrestling business?
Okay, that's a multi-part question, so I'm going to do my best to answer it as we go. One thing that I feel like Black people as a community really need to do is stop dividing ourselves with things like that. We should be able to look at people's accomplishments and take them as a win for the culture, as opposed to looking at who is in what, or who is classified where, because nobody else does that. You know what I mean? Like no other group does that. We happen to be the only group that does, and it's to our detriment. We should be applauding the fact that Mark Henry was a world champion. We should be applauding the fact that Booker T was a multi-time world champ. You know what I mean? Like, whatever whatever the case may be as to the circumstance is irrelevant, because that's still a representation of us, of our culture. And even with The Rock, I don't care what he promotes. I don't care what, when he does it, or what he does, but the fact is, he is who he is. You know what I mean? And we should be able to see that and accept that and count that as a win like any other group does, you know, because it's not just one way or the other,
right.
You know, that's something that we can look at and take pride in. Mm-hmm. And he did it, you know, in a way that no one else has been able to do it. He could arguably be the best of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that should inspire us to be able to go forward and use that as a platform and as an example to, you know, to only work harder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about the business aspect of it, this is the thing. You have in professional wrestling a sport with a majority of the fan base being one group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And in this business, it's about money and selling tickets and giving people something that they can identify with. So it's a very tough task to give them somebody that they can identify with that doesn't look like them,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the catch-22 is you could always say, well, you could showcase people in certain lights that would make them more relatable and put somebody in that spot to be able to see if they could carry the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. But no one really likes to lose money. So the unknown is the problem when you get to making those kinds of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because while it could be wildly successful, it could not. You know, and then what do you do? Because then you'll always have the opinion by some, well, they didn't really give him a chance or yada, yada, yada. In the cases, it's tough. You, as a professional wrestler that happens to be black, you have to be able to go out there and prove yourself first. Like, there are so many people that have to go out there and make themselves stars,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the company making them stars.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because they have to see that the equity is there. They have to be able to see that, you know, if they decide to move forward with you, it's a good business decision for them.
Yep.
You know, speaking about, you know, Ring of Honor specifically, you know, before I got there, there was a stigma of sorts that, you know, it's hard to be successful there if you happen to be a black wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I'm looking, and I'm taking all of this stuff in, and I'm looking, and the world heavyweight and the world champion is Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal, yeah, exactly.
He's also the television champion.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's breaking new ground and creating these unprecedented, you know, feats and defending two titles on one pay-per-view and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. But it's possible.
Yeah.
And while there have been many, you know, that have come and gone that have a legitimate gripe, you know, it's one of those things that I felt like, if I want to help change this culture or change this perception, I can't do it outside of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be there. You can't change anything in this world sitting on the sideline. You have to be able to get in there, get your hands dirty and help, you know what I mean? And be the change that you want to see.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the history of ROH, there's only been two champions, two black champions, one being Jay Lethal, the other being Kenny King,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when you look at 15 years of a company and the plethora of guys that have come in there, you think to yourself, holy hell, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at and run down the gamut of guys that have been there that, you know, that have gone on to other companies to win championships and gone on to be wildly successful overseas or in any other company they work for, and you start to think like, well, maybe there's some truth to it, but then again, there's different circumstances for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it's something that is going to be a constant battle. It's something that's going to be a constant struggle, but it's also something that is able to be in our control if we're able to continuously strive to be excellent.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
It's never going to be, will it be a harder road? Absolutely. But that makes us better for it, because then no one can say anything was given to us. No one can say that we didn't earn it, mm-hmm. because when you're put in that spot, you have to earn everything. There is no other choice,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that would be, that would be my answer, you know, to accept the wins that come our way as a culture and build upon those. Stop trying to quantify and classify, you know, who was what or this and that, you know, because I'm sure they had the person there that was able to make them money like The Rock does, or like The Rock did, or Austin did, or Cena did, or Orton did, that they would be able to put someone in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing is, you know, we have to see who that is.
Yeah. Very well said. Absolutely well said. I agree with you so much, and I think that, like I said, it will be a tougher hill to climb, and has been a tougher hill to climb over the past 50 years. But, you know, as we've seen with Jay Lethal and ROH, I mean, if you're good, you're good. So that is, you know, greatness doesn't have a skin color, you know what I mean? So, and I think that we've saw that with just Lethal's achievement, your achievement, Kenny King's achievement, you know, in ROH, you know, even to this day. So I totally agree with you. So there's some events coming up. You got Manhattan Mayhem. You got the anniversary show, both in March. And, of course, you have Supercard of Honor, WrestleMania weekend. Any plans for those events? Anything that you can tell the listeners what to expect from you, what to look forward to?
Well, as far as the first one you mentioned with the Manhattan Mayhem, it was just announced that it will be SoCal Uncensored. That's Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, teaming along with myself. I'm not in a group. I just happen to be working with them for this job, versus Bullet Club, which is Young Bucks, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. That was just announced, the eight-man tag there. At Manhattan Mayhem, so I'm excited about that for multiple reasons, because, you know, not only am I getting paid by CD to, you know, to fight the Bullet Club, but I've always been of the opinion that no matter what, everything is an opportunity to impress. Everything is an opportunity to further my name and further my career, and Bullet Club right now, especially those guys, are the talk of the wrestling world. So if I wanted to ever pick a time that was the optimum time to make a statement, Manhattan Mayhem would be the place to do it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I plan on doing.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Looking forward to it. Let the listeners know where to find your social media.
All right. Fantastic. Twitter, Instagram at Shane216Taylor. If you guys feel like, you know, getting some t-shirts, or if you just want to look cool, ROHWrestling.com, go to the pro shop. I've got a brand new Knockouts for Everybody t-shirt. Also, please go to the ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneTaylor store. Take yourself up some pretty cool merchandise there. And I just want to thank you guys so much for the last 10 years. It's been an incredible ride, and I look forward to the next 10 being just as fun.
Awesome. Been a pleasure, Shane. Really appreciate the discussion. It was very awesome. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right.
All right.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free. Our mind. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in. We live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo. Cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Frizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Das One Nikin, with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbitten, now I am Glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, using God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful, Bobby Eaton, me and Priest. We the dangerous alliance, nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep, you all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we reppin' that wolf pack. The foundation's shaking, no mistaking, yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust, pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness, some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap, he turning the power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You through, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
And a special thank you, ladies and gentlemen, to the man, Shane Taylor from Ring of Honor, the hired gun, the person who gets paid a CD, as he would say. A big match at Manhattan Mayhem. Thank you so much for coming through to be on the show tonight. He will be with Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian, and Scorpio Sky to go against Bullet Club. So that will be a huge, huge match, and it should be very, very fun. We got so much to talk about today. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we got some chamber predictions at the end of the show. We got Raw and SmackDown review. We got the flavor of the week this week, which is the top five best WWE and NXT theme songs. So we'll get five from your WWE combined. So WWE, NXT, combine those two brands and give us your top five, and we'll talk about that tonight as well. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we have the co-host with the most, Evan Tech Prout. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, ready to get this show on the road. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. It is time for the headlines. Here we go. All right, let's get right into it. Of course, biggest headline of this week. It's been rumored for a while, but it's finally here. It's finally revealed. Jeff Jarrett is the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame, announced on Raw. Well, confirmed on Raw, WWE announced it. NBC Sports, I believe, broke it. You know, there was other outlets that that rumored it beforehand. PW Insider, I believe, was one who rumored the news and you know, basically broke the news. So yeah, it's Jeff Jarrett, and you know, I don't have an issue with this at all. I can definitely understand people who don't agree, as far as, you know, he basically wanted to put down WWE. Of course, you know, he wasn't going to do it, but he was a very, very good foe for WWE for quite some time.
When TNA was in its heyday, they did very well. They were exciting. I enjoyed watching them, think that. I was a TNA apologist for a while, and I think that changing management, a bunch of instability. I don't know exactly what it was, but something made it just kind of veer off. And Jared, when Jared was there, I definitely think that, he knows about the business. Him and his father Jerry, and then from what I've heard, there was some diffusion between them. There were some issues between them two, and of course there were some issues between Jeff and Dixie, and Jeff left, and then Jeff came back when he kind of partnered with Dixie to kind of put his new brand GFW over. And then when Anthem bought Dixie, they hired Jeff Jarrett back, and Jeff Jarrett kind of coaxed Anthem to put the GFW banner on TNA. But because of his issues, his personal issues, that relationship didn't last as well. WWE sponsored him to go to rehab. He completed rehab, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame come April. He revealed in TMZ that WWE asked him last month in January. He didn't think twice about it, which not many people did. There's over the years, there's been a few names that has declined because, like for instance, Honky Tonk Man declined because of scheduling issues. I believe Bruno declined for a while before Triple H spoke with him and kind of straightened out and kind of smoothed out that relationship, and now he's in the Hall of Fame. So someone's asking, does Jeff Jarrett own TNA Wrestling? No. Anthem Sports and Entertainment owns TNA Wrestling, and the new executives there, or Scott D'Amore, who was the manager or the coach of Team Canada when Bobby Roode and Eric Young and who else was on? There was a bunch of people on Team Canada. Petey Williams, I think he was in Team Canada, and then Alpha or A Plus. I don't remember his name. But yeah, they were in Team Canada, and he was the coach there. This was early, like infancy of TNA, when they would do all the faction, the World Cups and things like that. So Scott D'Amore has been there for a while. I mean, he's been in and out of TNA. So he was there for a while. And I came back, and he's one of the executive vice presidents now. Of course, Don Callis is as well. The original team was Teddy Hart as their team captain, with Jack Evans, Johnny Devine, and Petey Williams as his teammates. And then Petey Williams replaced them as Teddy Hart as team captain, and then Jack Evans and Johnny Devine. Okay, so Jack Evans and then Teddy Hart and Jack Evans left. And then it was Petey Williams and still Johnny Devine, and then Eric Young and Bobby Roode. A1, no, that's his name. A1 was the other person. It was like the powerhouse. Really solid wrestler. Yeah. And in 05, you got the Planet Jarrett, and in 06, they were involved in the World Cup. And there was a 2008 as well. So, they were around for a while. Scott D'Amore has definitely been a part of TNA for quite some time. As far as Jeff Jarrett's concerned, he was a four-time. How many times was he? Intercontinental champion. I think it was like five or six times maybe. So he's had some, you know, some good Intercontinental title runs. The JERR, JFFF, EWT, EWT wasn't necessarily the best gimmick, but it put him over enough to, you know, get him in an interesting, you know, feud with Road Dogg, as far as, you know, Road Dogg being the one who really, you know, sang the song. And so, I mean, it was 93, 94, 95, you know, that it was interesting at that time. You know, he won the, he was feuding with Razor and won the Intercontinental Championship. So when he, you know, got the crew cut and you know, started carrying the guitar, changed the music, mm-hmm. you know, late 90s, that was when he really was, you know, the, as far as his WWE's career, that's when he really kind of had his heyday in WWE as far as success is concerned. He was Intercontinental Champion for six times. Yeah, six-time Intercontinental Champion.
Wow,
one-time Tag Team Champion, European Champion. Of course, you know, he was the man in USWA. He was one of the top baby faces in Continental. I remember watching the Continental back in the 80s.
Intercontinental days.
Won the U.S. title in WCW three times. Won the World Heavyweight Championship four times.
A million.
Heavyweight champion USWA. Of course, count his TNA time, but I mean, he booked himself, you know, a chunk of that time. So, you know, you can count it. I mean, he's been. He was NWA champion while he was in TNA for six times, but you know, that's the same thing as saying like Vern Gagne, you know, he had a bunch of reigns in AWA because
yeah.
that was his baby, so you know, he wanted to make sure that it stayed afloat.
Lee Flair,
so.
Had the books too sometimes when he was champ, so but I guess it's a little different with the times, you know what I mean?
Right.
With,
yeah. That was his baby.
Yeah, deserves it. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm a good, you know, me and Jared are cool. You know, he's been on my show multiple times. When we talked off air, you know, I gave him a call yesterday congratulating him. And always the nicest guy outside of the ring. Been a global force and TNA, Impact, whatever you want to call them, OWO, Anthem shows. And for his body of work that he's accomplished, I will say that he deserves it. In the ring, you know, Jarrett was always okay. You know, he just was just decent to me. You know, like trying to get someone currently, I would say. Like, obviously, like a Dean Ambrose, you know, like you know, they, well, I mean, Dean has more charisma. But, you know, just in the ring, he's just okay. And just inside the ring, I just thought Jarrett was just okay. You know, I know he has psychology, and I've mentioned this to him, and like you said, I've talked to the guy on my show and outside of the ring. But this is his achievements in the business, you know, his dad, and then Tennessee and USWA and TNA and everything that he's done, he's accomplished. Global force and his contributions, he deserves it. You know, my baby tonight. Remember that music video? Gosh, in the road again.
Oh yeah. Spending
like
my
said,
day
people,
working hard on the go, but my hand on the clock keeps spinning too slow. You gotta love it, man. That was one of the best.
Yeah, even I think he was one of the rockers that had their first music video. One of the pioneers. And,
yeah.
You know that last he did. That last he did was something. You know, the JEWF, and he was all out for what he did. You know, something I heard from ex-WWE stars that worked with him he took his different gimmicks, but he was 100%. He was the J-E-double-F in the early 90s, and you know, I'm talking about mainstream. You know what he's done in Tennessee and USWA. And then he went to WCW. Good gosh. You know, that horseman and that whole thing. He, you know what I mean? He went through that. He came back and cut his hair. He was, don't make me mad. You know, don't, you know, close, you know, we don't cuss on the show, but don't make me mad. He cut his hair with Deborah and Owen, and that's when he really started getting over. And he went back to WCW with Slappy. So, I will say real quick, and then we haven't talked about Raw, but shout out to the married couple, the wife that was sitting at Raw. I don't know if you caught this, where she actually asked her husband, who is that? I don't know if you caught that, but it actually was on live.
No.
Yeah, I will send you the clip. I will send you the clip after the show. She was like, who is that? It is hilarious. But I'm happy for Jeff, man. Give it to him. He deserves
it.
And
I think with
him just coming back, you know, from rehab, stuff like this really could boost. You know, sometimes people just need that, you know, they just need that off. They need that encouragement. And I think this could have happened at a better time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a dispute. I mean, he was okay in the ring. You know, he wasn't, you know, he definitely wasn't, you know, the anywhere near the best. But, you know, I think he was a solid player. You know, he's not. I think it would be an argument if he was like headlining the Hall of Fame or something like that. That would be something different.
Nobody will be going to that.
He's a solid player. You know, he was a solid hand. I mean, you know, he reminds me of like the Miz. You know, like I can certainly imagine Miz going into the Hall of Fame, and I think that the someone's career, like the Miz's career, to me is very parallel to Jeff Jarrett. Not the best in the ring, solid in the ring though, not bad. Can put together some, you know, decent matches. Great characters, great heels. Miz, I would give might work to the Miz, but Jarrett's wasn't bad. So I mean, you know, his guitar shots is, you know, he really became popular with that. And I mean, he stuck with it. He went with it. It worked. So, I mean, really, I mean, that's it. You know, I think he's worthwhile. I mean, I don't think there's any dispute of him being in the Hall of Fame. You know, I've met Jeff. You know, he's a very nice guy. I've talked to him off air. I've met him. You know, he gave me some free, you know, two free TNA tickets, and I don't have any disputes on him. He hasn't done anything to me. Comment says that's a great comparison. Miz and Jarrett both hate it equally. Yeah, I mean they both are solid heels. They both are very, you know, they were assets to their company. Miz is an asset to the WWE. You know, he's one of those people who is a very dependable hand, is a very dependable heel. He's hated. He does a good job. And that's how Jarrett was. I mean, Jarrett was a very solid, dependable guy. You know, he did what he needed to do in WCW. He did what he needed to do in WWE. He did what he needs to do. You know, of course, you know, TNA, he was a main event player, but again, that was his baby. Same thing as saying like Vern Gagne, you know, in AWA. But as far as his time in WWE and WCW, I mean, he was a solid hand. I mean, there's nothing really you can complain about with Jeff Jarrett. I don't see how the argument against Jeff Jarrett going in the Hall of Fame even is reasonable. I mean, look at the list of people who are in the Hall of Fame. I definitely think Jeff Jarrett deserves to be in the Hall of Fame more than a handful of people. I was a huge Tito Santana mark when I was a kid, but, I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. Does he deserve to have a Hall of Fame career? Some would argue no. I mean, of course, we get the The typical comparison, the lowest of the lows compared to many people, which is Coco Beware. I was a big Coco Beware fan too when I was a kid, but does Coco Beware deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? A lot of people say no.
With that, I'll say this, because I know we can go all day with this. We may look, you and I, Featherstone, of course, our lenses are different from fans. You know, we're in the business of media. You know, we talk to the guys, we're in the inside, have been a part of, you know, we've been to WWE shows. We are HBO friends all over. We've been backstage. I've helped put up a ring. I've been there with Booker and the Ellsworths and them. When you look at things outside of the fans' lens and look at wrestling as a work, it's entertainment. It's not so much about, well, he's never been a world champion, but what has he done? Sometimes you got to look at the body of work and what has the person done to impact the sport. Coco Beware has won, what, one title? He was tag champs once, but
I think in the Georgia Championship Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Georgia. Yeah, that's it. WWE,
yeah.
When, you know, he was more synonymous, you know, he
didn't win anything.
At the end of the day, he really didn't win any titles, but his character was over. Everyone knows Frank.
Yeah.
He was big, especially for us as our culture, being African-Americans. He was big. We could relate to him. He had a drop kick.
Oh, yeah.
People got to remember, right, that it's not so much about title belts. Yeah, that's Flair. He had a 16. Technically, he's had over 20. You know, Flair joked around with Sting. When Flair, you would say, well, Sting, you probably got more title rings than I did. You know, you can look at title belts. Junkyard Dog is in the Hall of Fame. Now, I don't think he's in WWE, but he's a legend. He was only territorial. You know, it's you got to look at the body of work. And I think
Ernie Ladd is
you don't know. Real quick, Ernie Ladd is the only, besides Marlon McMichael, and I still see that, Ernie Ladd was the first wrestler to actually be a Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs and to be a successful WWE Echo Superstar. Did he ever win a world heavyweight title? No.
He definitely successful. Yeah.
He was a success story. Absolutely. So you just got to look at the body. What has the Godfather done? Says he won an IC title once, maybe twice. That's it. But
when
you think of the attitude, no, the Godfather. You know,
oh, Godfather,
said,
the
Godfather being.
Yeah.
You got to look at the character.
The
Godfather was synonymous with the attitude era, with the whole train. Mm-hmm. With the holes, with that image. Road Dogg hasn't done anything in singles, but he's synonymous with the New Age Outlaws. So let me go on that rant real quick. Just look at the body of work, fans. If you come to us and you fans say, why should Jared be in, we're going to ask you why not. We can give you 30 reasons.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it because I know them, you know.
Even when it comes to body of work, I mean, I think he has a solid body of work. I mean, like, by the way, Mike, you just said he just came from SmackDown Live in Phoenix. Let us know if there is any dark matches or anything that happened afterwards. I mean, people could argue Coco's body of work compared to someone else's, you know, who did the territories. I mean, he was a big name in Continental, 7-time tag team champion, AWA. IWC, CW, I remember that. He was the heavyweight champion there. He was the top guy in USWA. He's 2-time Unified World Heavyweight Champion. So, you know, some good, you know, territorial, you know, championships, but definitely nothing of worth when it comes to WWE. But you know, he was huge. He was a big name, and I definitely think, you know, it is definitely arguable with Coco, but Jeff Jarrett, I don't think there's any type of argue at all. Someone said they don't think that they would have the Bushwhackers in the Hall of Fame. I don't agree with that at all. I definitely think the Bushwhackers deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Why not the Bushwhackers?
Decades. 50 years. I mean, I had Luke on my show last year and met him at my boy Bobby Fulton's event last year, and just, you know, he's still going at it. I mean, Luke was in the main event of that show. So 50 years in the business later. So he's at it.
You know, you got the sheep herders, the work that they've done in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
it's funny because people look at, okay, the Bushwhackers, WWF, yeah, they were characters. You know, we had the action figures; they were silly. But if you do your research, if you look up the sheep herders, which, by the way, John Laurinaitis was one of the flag guys. He used to carry that flag. You look at their feud with the Fabulous Ones and the stuff they did in Puerto Rico and the stuff they did, like, in the Kiwis.
The Fantastics.
And all over.
They
were some of the teams that invented, not really invented, but put on the map those bloody hardcore tag team matches. The Sheep Herders was known for bleeding buckets. Why not, man? Hey,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, go check, go Google Bushwhacker Luke Pancakes and Power Slams. Go check out the interview that he had on my show last year, I think it was. I think it was last year, maybe 2016, but I think it was last year. WWE did sign Mahabali Shira, that is correct. We'll talk about that another time for time purposes, as far as just people's thoughts on that. Bushwhackers were a cool tag team, but not Hall of Fame material. I don't agree with that. I think that it goes back to their body of work. I think towards their WWE stint was kind of like the end of their career. You know, like toward the twilight of their career. They've been around since, I believe, the '60s. I mean, so they were 20 years in their career. You know, over 20 years in their career. When they went in the WWE, they didn't win a tag team championship, but the Rockers didn't either officially, right? I mean, so it's like I think they won once and they kind of got it revoked from them. So, winning the tag team championship is kind of like a shoe-in, in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, it's not just because you win. Just because you were in the Hall of Fame, or just because you don't win a championship doesn't mean that you automatically are ruled out of being in the Hall of Fame. All right, for time purposes, we got to move forward. Real quick, that team started in 1964. So, yeah, almost 55 years later. Unfortunately, Butch is not doing very well. He's still in the Hall of Fame physically, but Luke is still going, so that's what it's all about. And he can go too. He owns his own gym, so he's not like, you know, he doesn't look like, you know, frail. I saw him live. He's still, you know, doing the whole, the pit and the battering ram and all that. So, you know, he's still, you know, the crowd. He was over. The crowd marked out. So, absolutely. All right, real quick, here we go. First trivia question of the night. This is going to be random trivia questions. There's some Royal Rumble, there's some WrestleMania. We'll get back to exclusively WrestleMania for the most part next week, but this is kind of a jumbo night for trivia. So here's the first one. Sable versus Luna for the Women's Championship happened at which Royal Rumble? Sable versus Luna for the Women's Championship happened at which Royal Rumble? Speaking of that, Ivory was also inducted last week. He also announced that Ivory was inducted. Big fan of that. I'm a big fan, big fan of that. There's absolutely no dispute to me at all. So, I mean, you know, Jeff Jarrett may have some dispute, but Ivory definitely no dispute. There's no dispute for me at all with both.
No dispute at all.
Ivory definitely
Ivory's great.
Deserves to be in there.
Yeah, Ivory's great.
Killer Bees, no, they're not in the Hall of Fame. Legion of Doom, yes, they're in the Hall of Fame. All right, so real quick, let's get into Chris Jericho. He revealed the original Universal Championship plans for WrestleMania 33. Very interesting. It's one of those things that Jericho kind of, you know, again, he just always knows how to put himself in the back burner. And so basically, when Goldberg and Lesnar decided to extend their feud, Lesnar said that he'd work with Goldberg. He don't mind if losing to him in that short fashion if he wins the title back at WrestleMania. The original plan was Jericho versus Owens for the Universal Championship. Kevin Owens was going to retain the title until WrestleMania, defend it against Jericho. Jericho was going to defeat Kevin Owens, and then Brock Lesnar was going to defeat Jericho at the following pay per view, which was Payback. So I thought that was very interesting. People know I'm a big Jericho fan through and through, but they made the better decision with Goldberg versus Lesnar as the Universal Championship match. It was a great match. It served its purpose. Both Evan and I were both there live in Orlando. The fans were really into it. You know, the fans weren't as into Jericho Owens, and I'm one of them, and I'm a big Jericho fan, but wasn't really too much into Jericho Owens. And we saw with the 360, the 365 piece, when Owens went to Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon wasn't really into it either. I mean, he was a bit disappointed too. So I felt the same way.
How was that, by the way? I didn't get a chance to finish watching the rest of it, but was the finished product good, the 365? Because I did watch the first half of it.
It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. They're filming one with Sting and Seth Rollins too. That should be coming out soon. I saw some previews
of
that.
With both of them, or just one each?
They're interviewing. They're both getting interviewed together. So, a year after Sting and Seth Rollins, Sting had his last match ever with against Seth Rollins. So I'm really looking forward to that one for sure. Rodriguez, we still don't have a Sable versus Luna. I think I stomped some people. So here's the answer. 1999 is that answer. 1999. Next question. What Royal Rumble did Scott Steiner compete for the World Heavyweight Championship? What Royal Rumble did Scott Steiner compete for the World Heavyweight Championship? Because nobody's finer than Scott Steiner. And if you if I'm feeling really froggy, I'll do the math promo again. Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me. He's not even going to try. that promo was hilarious. Richard Rodriguez. Richard Rodriguez, he's in jail. He's he's ratting out people. He's saying names. He said Duhamel and Mark Wahlberg and Roman Reigns are three of the people who were part of this big drug distribution exchange. They were clients of his that, bought, purchased these illegal substances. And, he just released a video explaining how athletes take smaller dosages of different substances to avoid getting tested positive for it, which is interesting information. And then the next video that he's saying that he's going, they released his phone records and text messages during the video, which is done by John Bravo. Rodriguez and Bravo said that they're getting clearances from things like that, from different things to get to Roman Reigns' phone records and phone records and text messages. It's not cool at all if he did it. I think this was in 2016 or, you know, it's around 16. He got hit for Adderall when he was suspended before for the policy, and I think this was beforehand. So WWE may wash it. They may consider it a wash, or they may do an Enzo Amore deal where, you know, Enzo Amore was terminated even before, you know, the trial and proven guilty and all that, because, you know, it was just a bad PR move for Enzo not to tell him 3 months in, and they, you know, find out, you know, through media outlets. So WWE may, you know, they may get to the point where this may be they may feel it's a bad PR move as well. Roman Reigns they've got so much stock in Roman Reigns to just yank him. If they, you know, they demoted him beforehand when he got busted before, when he tested negative. They didn't have him in the world title picture for a while. So they could do that again. He was pretty good at U.S. champ. You know, he's feuding with Rusev and things like that. They could do that again, but they've got so much stock in Roman Reigns that I don't know if they will do that. And then if they don't do anything, does it look bad on them? And so it's a really tight position right now. Really, really tough position for WWE to be in. You know, when and if and most likely when these tapes and these, the text messages and phone messages come out and is released, I mean, it can be tough. And, you know, we'll see, you know, what happens. They may replace Roman Reigns, because this is the worst possible time. You know, Roman Reigns may get that much less of a paycheck for WrestleMania. So we'll see. I mean, there's so many things that could happen. We don't know. We don't know enough to make any type of conclusions right now. But it is a very interesting, topic and it's developing. You know, so I think as more developed, WWE will have more to use to make their decision to see where they want to go.
Yeah, it can't be a better time, right? So just got to see how things unfold and see what WWE is going to do.
Yep, absolutely. I did see 99 here, so wanted. I said that. Yep, you did say that. So you get credit for 1999. Royal Rumble to Scott Steiner. I do see 2003 as well. So good job. That is the correct answer. 2003. Next question. What was the first ever Royal Rumble match? What was the first ever Royal Rumble match? All right, so next we have WWE planning to hold a 100,000 seat event in 2018. So this year, so in Melbourne, Australia, they're working with the MCG, the Melbourne Cricket Ground. It's been an arena and a venue since the 1800s, and they're looking to have some more attractions there. So they're, you know, reportedly negotiating with WWE, the Sportster, the outlet that reported this. And so it would be interesting to see the thing is, and of course you have the dual branded pay-per-views now, which I'm not a big fan of, because last time it kind of was the precursor to the split ending, and I don't think the split should end, because I don't want to see it hurts SmackDown so much being on the same channel as Raw when there was no split. It was like SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown was like Raw Lite. It was like a 2-hour version of Raw. It was so not okay. I mean, split.
Yeah.
With all the rosters that they have, they need a split. I mean, if you want to really showcase names, they have to get a split. They have to keep this split. Dual branded pay-per-views, I don't like it. I don't like it because of a number of reasons, but here's one of the biggest reasons. It takes away the luster of the Big Four pay-per-views, because what's the difference now? What's the difference between the Big Four pay-per-view and the minor pay-per-view? Nothing. There's no difference other than, namesake. But what does that mean? What does that mean nowadays? So I'm not a big fan of it. And they were talking about NXT.
You say NXT?
You can see.
I know they was talking with them.
Go ahead. You said you can see.
I'm sorry. Just a little feedback. I can see why WWE is doing it. I can see why a lot of people are against it. But I'm to the sentiment as you is, you need separate shows. The Raw still, as you say, the Land of the Giants. There's over-the-top real huge personalities. And then you watch SmackDown. SmackDown is more like the traditional wrestling show, where it's more about athleticism, charisma, but it's more like the closest you're going to get to an old territory, to a Crockett or a Georgia or Mid-Atlantic, where it isn't so, it isn't driven so much on personality and characters. SmackDown's more driven more on athleticism and, just storyline. And like you said, if it's what's going to be the difference with the Survivor Series or the Rumble or Mania or SummerSlam, which you're going to add Pyro back now? Like you said, it takes away like you said, the roster and the excitement of, it's the Rumble, so we get to see Raw and SmackDown together. Oh, it's Mania, so we get to see everyone together. You see it every week. See it once a month. Or the only other thing I will say, if you're going to, they're going to merge the pay, they're going to make the pay-per-views now dual brand, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to do the money and commitment. What's wrong with cutting back on pay-per-views? Why do we need a pay-per-view every month?
Even if you have a pay-per-view every month, you see, what was happening, what was so bad about WWE with the single brand, the exclusive pay-per-views, was that they were having a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, every 2 to 3 weeks, which was, that was the other side of the extreme. I mean, I'm totally fine with how it used to be when they used to have, Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views each month, but not, both, pay-per-views each month. That was the issue. They kept having, a pay-per-view every 2 weeks, which is a terrible idea. So, And with this 100,000 seat, you know, venue idea, I hope that they do it. I hope that they're successful with it. But, you know, right now their biggest names that are all, you know, their all seas are Buddy Murphy, who did very well on 205 Live, by the way. And you have TM61, which is, you know, they haven't been pushed very well in NXT. I mean, they're big indie stars when they were the Mighty Don't Kneel. And then you have Iconic Duo, but, you know, they're T names. I mean, they're nothing past, you know, a decent NXT, you know, women's tag team. They don't have any type of outside presence than NXT. So, WWE live event, I don't, you know, certainly don't think that's going to, you know, fill up 100,000 seats. You could do an NXT event there, but you have to push the heck out of it. I mean, they went to London before, but they only, London only did, they only did over a little over 10,000 with London, so it would have to take a lot of a whole lot of promotion and some huge names. I mean, you better have the Undertaker competing on an NXT event or something like something.
You better get everybody to make you better make a big DLC pack. All the fans listening to play video games, you better have a DLC pack, downloadable content of Sting, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Triple H, The Rock. You're going to need every single Shawn Michaels. You're going to need every single big star from the past for over 100,000 seat venue, and it's overseas. Yeah, you call up all the part-timers. And I know the IWC is going to be mad where you got to call the part-timers. Well, because you still make more money, and you still put busted seats more than 95% of the full-timers. So you got to call the Stings. You got to call the Rocks. You got to call the Undertakers. You got to call the John Cena's.
And so, ratings were higher. Ratings were higher.
You got to call the Rocks.
Was there. Goldberg. Yeah, I mean, it's just simple as that. So you can gripe and complain all you want, but you're not the one paying the, you know, the you're not the one fronting the checks from WWE. So I mean, that's as far as you can get with that.
And anybody that may complain, just say, oh, why you need part timers? Let's do basic math. And if I was going to know, you have a background in business economics and have a background too. If you have 100,000 seat venue, think about how much it's going to cost to rent the venue.
Right.
How much it's going to cost for you for the production. How much it's going to cost for travel. How much it's going to cost for insurance. How much is it going to cost anyway for any country permit. That's called, and this to think, how much money you got to spend on promotion, on marketing, on promotion, on ads. So, hypothetically, if it costs you maybe $40,000 to do this whole show, everything included, you would have to make over $40,000 to make some kind of profit, which means you would have to think about how many tickets you would have to sell. And the only way you're going to sell tickets is if you bring people that you're going to bring in wrestlers that people want to see. So that's why you bring in the part-timer. You bring in the Sting, and you bring in your Flairs and the Stone Colds and the Goldbergs and the Brocks and the Triple H's and the Rocks. You know why?
Yeah.
People are going to come out and see them. Whatever money you invest, you got to make more than what you initially invested on for you to make a profit.
That's the thing. Yeah,
that's exactly more right.
Yeah, I've been a promoter for 15 years, and you have to make substantially more in order to have an overhead to pay all your expenses and to save some for the next one. You have to make substantially more. All right, for the sake of time, we got a comment here. Could they give NXT an hour on Mondays because they don't have enough time in 1 hour a week to put all that talent over? Good point, but I don't want NXT to come anywhere near Raw or SmackDown. They have a really good thing going on in NXT, and Raw and SmackDown is in need for some help. Ricky Steamboat versus Rick Rude. Ricky Steamboat versus Rick Rude. Great job. Here's a WrestleMania question for you. Who did Shawn Michaels beat at WrestleMania 8? Who did Shawn Michaels beat at WrestleMania 8? All right, so Flair gave his four horsemen. You know, if anybody wants to, anybody in the live stream want to give their horsemen, their four horsemen, go for it. But for sake of time, we're not gonna go too much into it. He said Ziggler, Orton, Rollins, and Reigns. You know, that's not a bad four horsemen, but. I don't think you can really get any, you know, four people that can have anything close to just the chemistry four horsemen have.
I mean, hopefully to our great fans of Pancakes and Power Slams and My Show don't beat me up for this. Can we let that die? Can we just let it rest? There'll never be another Horseman. There will never be another Michael Jordan. There will never be another Calvert King or NWO or DX or please. It's never. I mean,
Sting and the Undertaker will never happen.
That's a, you know what? I wish I had the soundboard. I would give you a boo for that. Hey, there's still some hope. There's still some hope. But.
Let's talk about
this
stuff die.
But it's like the host. We didn't see Fortune. Do we even act like that existed? Fortune. What was the other group? What was that? They. Remember their coming. Remember that?
Oh.
It was Sting and Jazz.
Yeah, you're talking about Immortal.
Immortal, and then you're going to name Orton, who's been in the business on a cusp of 20 years. He was the air quote. They were the reincarnation of the Horseman of Evolution over 15 years ago. So it's like, come on, this Reigns doesn't even fit the mold of a Horseman. Orton, he was Evolution. I hope mold him. I mean, he's already a legend. Ziggler being in a horseman is equivalent to when Mr. Perfect was in a horseman. Why? He doesn't need it. And what else did he say? Reigns. I mean, Reigns could, he has to get in ring work, you know, of he reminds me of somebody that could be like a Barry Windham. I mean, not, you know, something like that. It's like, come on, let it go. It will never be a horseman. You don't care. It will be another horseman. Won't be another NWO.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to resurrect the Revolution or the Radicals, then by all means.
Oh, no thanks.
That.
that's fine too. You can keep that buried as well.
Let's go ahead and go.
Shawn Michaels. Who did Shawn Michaels beat at WrestleMania 8? Still haven't got that that answer. And all right, so for the second time, we got a roll. Raw and SmackDown. What are your thoughts on Raw and SmackDown?
I'll go to reverse. T fans, you know, I listen to you. I've been doing SmackDown reviews in the year. SmackDown was okay, and the number one question is Charlotte Flair needs some competition. She just gosh. It's like she's so good, and it's just to me she's just going through her motions. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting Bobby Roode is the U.S. champ. He's going against Orton and Fastlane. Yippee yahoo! And I love Corbin and AJ match, but it's like okay, is Corbin going to turn face? And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen on SmackDown next week? Is going to be Corbin and AJ against Zayn and Owens. Overall, I thought SmackDown was decent. Laugh out loud at the anime characters, whatever it was going around with the New Day. New Day's still entertaining. I enjoyed Raw. I've been high on Raw the past 3 or 4 weeks. Raw's been really well done. The Gauntlet matches was very well done. I love Strowman. I just still feel Strowman's talking too much. I feel like he just have him talk like five words, like the old saying this, like the Xena Warrior Princess Monsters or Hercules, just get these hands or just like Incredible Hulk. I love Nia Jax beating up on Asuka. I enjoy it well. Jared getting inducted was cool. Now, not going to say what it is. There was a slip up in Raw. People sent it to me. I missed it. Well, Asuka and Nia Jax, so I know that kind of went viral. But I'll say, kind of funny though, Finn Balor in tights, to me, looks like a little kid running around the house with his underwear on. He's not like a little kid running around with his diaper. It just looks. And I'll say this real quick, too, in my statement. I thought the part in the Elimination Chamber, the selling point was that after the first two, it's random. You don't know who's going coming in what. Why is this year's all these stipulations? Oh, well, the Miz is going to go on first, and Elias is going to go come out last. Well, where's the luster of the randomness? You get what I mean? You don't look like, okay, you don't.
The sixth was okay to me with Elias, but still to this day, I don't understand why it's so bad to come in as first, especially since there's a triple threat match. So first, second, or third are the same. It doesn't even matter. Second and third has no better advantage than number one, because number one comes out first. And number one waits for second and third. So it just that didn't make sense at all. Someone's asking what's my thoughts on the mixed match challenge. It was another week. This one wasn't the greatest week. I do like the duo of Bobby Roode and Charlotte. I figured that they were going to win, and it made sense. Apollo dropping the teams because of Nicholas Cruz, that's really heinous acts in Parkland, and our prayers are certainly with the victims, family and friends of victims of the Parkland shootings in Florida.
We're praying for them.
You're in our prayers, and we sincerely, speak for myself. I sincerely apologize for people like that, in life, that have no regard just for the preciousness of life, that they're willing to take and remove others.
How close is
that? That gets to me when someone, I'm not an advocate of suicide. Not at all, but it's like, you're so selfish that you take other people's lives before you take yours. So it gets to me, and I definitely pray that for the victims of the Parkland shootings
and the family.
All right, as far as Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 8, here's the answer. I saw a bunch of other answers that weren't correct. So El Matador is the correct answer. All right, so real quick, my thoughts on Raw and SmackDown. I think Raw was very wrestling heavy. It didn't do too much the forward, as a go-home show. It didn't do too much the forward Elimination Chamber. Seth Rollins, wow. I mean, I really like how they made him look like. I mean, that he is the MVP of Raw for sure. Talking about Monday Night Rollins, I mean, he earned every letter of that T-shirt on Raw. Very, very good showing by Seth Rollins. The only thing is, I mean, similar to what Coach was saying, like, he went all that time, but if he loses, he still won't go to WrestleMania. So if he does the same thing in Elimination Chamber, if he eliminates everybody except for the last person, he'll still miss out on WrestleMania, quote unquote, miss out on WrestleMania, as far as the main event's concerned. So, I don't see Rollins in the main event. I do think this was a needed showing for Rollins just to kind of boost him up again, which was good. I agree with you on Strowman. Strowman's amazing, man. He's the man. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Strowman come WrestleMania. All right, so let's as far as SmackDown's concerned, you know, decent. I like my boys. The New Day became number one contenders again, but the Bludgeon Brothers have been kind of interfering with Uso stuff, and now they kind of came out when the New Day were coming out. You know, it's kind of weird to me. And then you know, the women's division is so depleted right now. You know, their Ruby Riott is going to go against Charlotte. I'll be there at Fastlane, and the card just looks so weak to me. And Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, man, they just need so much work. I mean, Sarah Logan was in the Indies. Man, Liv Morgan, when they won, I noticed little things, and they Liv Morgan celebrated and forgot that, you know, she was supposed to work her injury. And went right back to pretending that she was hurt. So, you know, just those little things like that just take some maturity. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we got the flavor of the week and we got the prediction. So let's go right to the flavor of the week. Here we go. We're going to talk about the, real quick, just the top five WWE NXT theme songs. We'll be right back.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right, Evan, give us your top five WWE NXT songs. Anybody from the live stream, if you whatever your favorite WWE NXT song is, just let us know. And Evan, what you got?
You want me to do all five? Currently, just go one by one.
You can do your five.
Okay, and this is all currently, right?
Yep.
Currently, WWE NXT things, I have no NXT because the ones at NXT I like the only roster. Honorable mention, just for last, Mr. Wonderful WCW theme. Always one of the greatest. Five, Oscar. Four, Bobby Roode's theme, Glorious. Three, New Day. Two, Nakamura, and my favorite theme right now in the WWE is the Uso Penitentiary. One day ish.
I like the Usos. Days. I didn't put them in my top five, but I like it. I like their theme too. Here's mine. Mine is I got to give a shout out to Velveteen Dream. I like his theme. My number five is Naomi. Number four is Asuka. Number three is Shinsuke Nakamura. Number two is Ember Moon. And number one, without question, is Undisputed Era. I think their theme song is absolutely amazing. A big fan of their song, and obviously Kyle O'Reilly is a big fan of their song too, because he comes out playing the guitar like Hulk Hogan used to do back in the old NWO days. It's a big fan of the Undisputed Era's theme song. So. Let's see. All right. So let's get to the flavor of the week. And that was, as far as the peoples are concerned, I see Aleister Black. It's not Fastlane, it's Slowlane. Nothing important ever happens at the interview. the match between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan was pretty good. So I was
I'll play a little bit of the Undisputed Era's theme song as we speak here.
I definitely think that that was pretty good. You know, it's one of those pay-per-views that I agree with and we can't afford to.
Okay, it'll be better than December for this number.
So if we are talking theme songs, Robbie, what about the top five old school theme songs? For the sake of time, we can't go further into that, but I love that topic. Remind me, tweet at Craig Wrestling or at Chris Horrific, remind me about that, and we can make that another Flavor of the Week topic. We're actually going to start getting your thoughts, your Flavor of the Week topics. Send them to me, tweet them to me. I'll give you a shout out, and we'll be your Flavor of the Week topic. Flavor of the Week, of course, thank you for watching the show. Every week at the end of the show, we have a Flavor of the Week. We have some random discussion topic. We've had lists. We have top five, top ten, worst, best. The state of somebody going back to the old days, talking about AWA, top five feuds that never happened. I go through the catalog of Pancakes and Power Slam shows. We play them every week, and you know, we've had 6 years of different topics every week. So yeah, that's basically the Flavor of the Week. So whatever topic you got, tweet at Trey Wrestling or at Chris Prolific, which is my personal Twitter, and we'll give your hashtag some credit. All right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the Elimination Chamber prediction. So, I think that there's some intrigue to this Elimination Chamber predictions here, and I think that it could be interesting. First ever Elimination Chamber match as far as the women's concerned. So we'll definitely see how that goes. And we'll definitely see what's going to happen. So let's get into the predictions, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so we have, as far as the matches are concerned, we have four matches. So the Elimination Chamber matches are going to be long. That's quite obvious. Actually, we got five matches because it's not confirmed yet, but we'll most likely have the tag team match. So, tag team match, The Bar versus Apollo and Titus O'Neil. What do you got?
The Bar. Say The Bar winning.
Just to spice
Titus
it up.
Apollo, but,
just to spice it up. I'm gonna go The Bar. Although they really don't have a tag team right now, as far as just a big tag team match set for WrestleMania. So I don't know. All right, well, I'll say The Bar. Perhaps there might be some babyface tag team. Some babyface tag team may come up somehow, some way, and go against the Raw, go against Sheamus and Cesaro. But it seems like Sheamus and Cesaro is going to have a spot in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, because there's no very strong babyface Raw tag teams right now. All right, real quick, Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. There you go.
I got Woken Matt Hardy.
Ray
never really wins.
Well, he beat him at the 25th anniversary. He beat him on a Raw before too. So, but this is Woken's time. It's gonna be wonderful. Yeah. The Asuka versus Nia Jax.
Excuse me. No brainer. Asuka's gonna win, sadly. I don't say she should win by DQ. I think Nia Jax should get disqualified. I don't think Asuka should pin Nia Jax.
All
they could submit. They were not just because they look strong.
I'm a big Oscar fan, so I definitely I see Oscar. They're not gonna break her streak. Women's Elimination Chamber: Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Mandy Rose, Mickey James, Sasha Banks, and Sonya Deville, which very weak lineup, by the way. Who you got?
Oh man, I just want to know they have to make them for the Women's Elimination Chamber match. That plexiglass has to be very thin if they're gonna go for it. Cause them women weigh no more than about 120 pounds.
And they better not main event. I mean, they main event the Royal Rumble, and they didn't main event anything else. They better not main event this.
I agree. I got Alexa Bliss. Even with the lineup, I got Alexa Bliss winning.
I agree. I think I got Bliss winning as well. All right, so the men's Royal Rumble, the men's Elimination Chamber, we got for the number one contender match, WrestleMania 34, we got Seth Rollins, we got The Miz, we got Roman Reigns, John Cena, Braun, Elias, and Finn Balor. Who you got?
How many people?
Seven.
Was it traditionally six?
Yeah, but on Raw they had the match between the five way a week or two.
Yeah, that's right. So are they gonna add an extra card, or how are they gonna work that out? But we'll see.
Well, they're gonna have a triple threat in the beginning.
Again, yeah. Even though everyone says Reigns because of Ed Cole him against Brock, I say this throw a swerve and Braun Strowman win. And just come up with something.
I've got,
you know, just,
I love to throw a swerve.
I got Reigns winning. But I just do it a little different.
I'm cool with it. I mean, I'm definitely cool with Reigns and Lesnar. It'll be good to see. Their match a few years back was really good. It definitely surprised a lot of people. We'll see Braun. If Brock re-signs, I think I can definitely see Brock and Braun, down the line. So I'm definitely cool with Reigns for sure.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, someone said Women's Chamber Botch Fest. I can definitely see that. But I see some people saying Mickey James is the winner. I like that idea. Sasha Banks, someone said Sasha Banks. I think we'll see Alexa Bliss going as she hasn't really done much recently, but I definitely see her going in as a heel. She's the strongest heel other than Nia Jax, but so I definitely see her going in as champ. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Of course, we want to thank our boy Shane Taylor from Ring of Honor to be on the show tonight. Thank you so much for all of your showings and efforts and exhibitions and competition and display and everything else you want to add and those synonyms at Ring of Honor. You've been doing a fantastic job since your debut, and there's a bunch of momentum going on with Shane Taylor. Of course, follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling. Follow Chris Featherstone at Chris Prolific. Of course, join the Facebook fan page, Crave Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Evan Tech Proud with Under the Mat Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, this is Chris Featherstone. Episode 308 of Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy Elimination Chamber. Enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Have a great week.
Good night, guys.